Hey, everybody. It's the Charlie Kirk Show. Tyler Boyer joins us with some humbling news in the post-Super Tuesday news cycle. Citizen Kane joins us for the news of the day. 10 good news items and more. Email us, freedom@charliekirk.com. Become a member to be able to ask me questions live on air, members.charliekirk.com. That is members.charliekirk.com. I think you'll really enjoy it. Email us, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. And subscribe to our podcast. Open up your podcast application and type in Charlie Kirk Show. Email us, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here. Noble Gold Investments is the official gold sponsor of the Charlie Kirk Show, a company that specializes in gold IRAs and physical delivery of precious metals. Learn how you could protect your wealth with Noble Gold Investments at NobleGoldInvestments.com. That is NobleGoldInvestments.com. It's where I buy all of my gold. Go to NobleGoldInvestments.com. Lots of Super Tuesday news, but we're getting right into it. Tyler Boyer is here. Tyler, what is the big takeaway from Super Tuesday?
What we've been talking about now for months, which is that there are six key target states that are basically up in the air for Trump to have to win. We've known this. We've known Trump has been the nominee effectively for the past, 6 to 8 months, probably, with everything, our ear to the ground, with everyone that's out in the field. We have to give everything that we have to overcome the methods and madness and manipulation that's happening in each of these states: Arizona, Wisconsin, Georgia, Nevada, Pennsylvania, Michigan.
Yeah, and so we have at Turning Point Action, we were ahead of the curve. We've been saying this on this program literally for now 14 months, 15 months, and now people are now waking up to it, where it's not going to come down to Iowa or Ohio or Florida. It's fine. North Carolina is going to be a little interesting. They're going to pour some money into that, but I think we're going to be fine.
Yep.
Arizona, Georgia, and then one of the Rust Belts. We believe Wisconsin is the best path forward.
Yep.
Michigan has some signs of life, but you got this lunatic. We have the tape, by the way, to play, the Secretary of State, which is a chilling tape that you sent in our group chat this morning.
Yeah, it's chilling.
But we think Wisconsin is the most likely to go Trump.
Well, and here's the reason why. So this is what's happening on the ground. This is what has been happening. We've seen in past election cycles the Democrats retreat away from Florida and Ohio. They invested heavily the last two election cycles into Arizona and Georgia. Now we're looking at the polling, but we're also looking at the landscape of the architecture of this election, which is that RFK is on the ballot. Jill Stein's on the ballot. You have Colonel West on the ballot, right? So you have this entire problem now for the Democrats, where they're looking at Arizona going, does it make more sense to go all in on winning Pennsylvania, Michigan, and Wisconsin? And for them, the numbers are looking better for them there. Michigan and Pennsylvania have Philadelphia and Detroit, where they have easy to manipulate areas.
So, sorry to interrupt. With 2020, they had BLM. They were able to run up the score with mail-in ballots and black voters. They don't have that this cycle. It doesn't look like it's going to materialize. They might pull out of Georgia and North Carolina because of it. One in three people in Georgia are black voters.
Yeah, and they've made some infrastructure builds in Georgia that are going to be harder for them to unwind.
But they're not going to do the extra.
There's less of that in Arizona, believe it or not. So they don't have the same infrastructure build.
Because Mark Kelly had this operation. They didn't sustain that.
It doesn't appear so. It doesn't appear so. And Arizona, again, has been one of these vacant places, parking lot, political parking lots in America, where there just hasn't been a ton that's been built. Georgia's different. Georgia has been at the epicenter.
So that's why Stacey Abrams, heir apparent, front page of Time magazine. Does now a Lake v. Gallego Senate race increase the amount of Democrat attention here?
This is the same issue as North Carolina that you just brought up, right? Which is, if they decide to go after the governor's race aggressively or the Senate race in Arizona, then that's going to contribute to more money, which is going to make it more likely they'll spend more.
They're going after North Carolina hard. I listened to MSNBC for 30 minutes on my way into our super stream. All they talked about is North Carolina. They had Roy Cooper on, obsessed. Yep. I mean, it was the full siren. We got to take out Mark Robinson. I mean, it's like full court press.
Mark Robinson is a problem for them because he's becoming a prominent voice in the black community.
Big time.
And so his impact is much larger and much broader than just North Carolina.
Yeah, no, so they need to try to take him out. And they look at that, if they could take out Mark and bring down his numbers, they can make Trump have to campaign unnecessarily more in North Carolina.
Well, here's the other thing, too. Cooper is kind of a known quantity, and he's boring.
Very boring.
Ruben Gallego in Arizona is a complete goof up. He's
a bad person.
He's a goofball. He's weird. If you actually talk to the guy, he's a bizarre.
I think he's beatable. I'm the only person.
No,
who
he's
thinks
totally beatable.
Cinema out of the race makes this a binary choice. I'm the only one that thinks it's actually a good thing.
As long as voters understand who Ruben Gallego is and get to know him.
The question is, will Barrasso McConnell come in with the necessary $100 million?
Probably not. Right.
Well, then you got a problem because Schumer will come in for Gallego for whatever he needs.
But we'll see. The landscape's changing, right? With everything happening and with McConnell, you know, stepping down and everything else. So the landscape's changing. So that's a positive for Carrie Lake. But we can't. We've been telling people this. The cavalry's not coming in these states.
No.
But here I want to point out something very important for everybody at home too, Charlie. Arizona, Wisconsin, and Georgia, out of the six key states that are, you know, winnable, right, for either side effectively, are the three states that have the lowest amount of union employees in the state. So Arizona, I believe, has the least.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So Arizona,
the least unionized state in the country?
Arizona and Georgia. No. Just out of the six states.
Oh, okay.
So out of the six states. But
that makes sense.
It's up there.
It's been a right to work state
forever.
Since formation.
Forever. So Arizona has not had a huge union presence. Nevada, Michigan, and Pennsylvania do.
High. Culinary unions, trade unions. Yeah.
So this is why if you're an activist like we are, and we're looking at this, we're saying, how many bodies do we want? How many armies do we need to organize? It makes more sense to organize armies in places where the unions aren't.
So tell people why. Because the unions are deployed.
They're already ready to go.
As grassroots workers, door knockers. In fact, one of our coworkers just had his door knocked on by a union worker here in Arizona. They don't have a lot of presence. They have something, though.
But in these other states, Nevada.
They run Clark County in Nevada.
Nevada is completely covered. Pennsylvania has massive amounts of union workers. Mm-hmm. And although union workers are defecting from the Democrat Party at record numbers in some of these states up in the Rust Belt.
That's the problem.
They just have bodies. They have more bodies. And so you look at Arizona, Wisconsin, and Georgia, and you go, okay, there's the fewer there. So that means Democrats have to build to make up for that in those states where they don't have significant union workers. And so we have an opportunity to do the same. The question is, will we do it? Will the entire conservative movement focus in on these states and say, we have a chance to match what the Democrats are doing on ground game, and we have to invest into it? And that shouldn't just be Turning Point. That needs to be 10 to 15 other organizations coming in and being serious about this and saying, we're not going to just, you know, spray and pray. We're not going to just, you know, send people out in the last 3 weeks of the election. We are going to invest now heavily. And it doesn't have to be 100 bodies. It doesn't have to be 200 bodies. It needs to be 10 bodies. It needs to be 15 bodies. It needs to be 20 bodies. If we have 20 or 30 organizations doing that, the same that Democrats do, it makes it really hard to beat us in these states. And they're going to more quickly retreat from these states and focus in. And we're going to have World War III in Wisconsin.
Front page of Politico.com today. And I tell everybody, look, celebrate Super Tuesday, but let's get to work. You got to get to work. Biden's plan for Trump, bury him with campaign cash.
Yeah.
They're going to have more money than they know what to do with.
They already do, Charlie. I mean, we know this, and it's not just the visible campaign cash. And this is what's so irritating. I've sat on the RNC for the last 4 years listening to Ronna McDaniel say, oh, we're on par with the Democrats. We're on par with the Democrats. Da, 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 da. And everybody there, all the, you know, the old timers are like, oh, great.
Yeah, the lemmings.
And it's like, guys, you have no idea what we're up. You haven't researched. You haven't spent the time understanding.
There's a multi-billion-dollar dark money infrastructure.
There's a dark money multi-billion infrastructure that they're using much more poignantly than we are.
Yes, through C3, C4, super PACs, all of it.
And this is the big problem. And again, you know, I want to be cautious about how overly critical we are. Times have changed, but the old way of doing things, the Karl Rove way of doing things, which is just spend a bunch of money on media and shift the narrative, is not enough. You have to fight for the narrative, obviously. We need to do that. But Democrats have figured out these outside infrastructure groups that they've built are chasing every ballot to make up for the ballots they can't win.
Yes.
And they can't win in the public domain right now.
They can't win in public opinion or polling. But Tyler, when you say, oh, it says Trump is up 7 points, that means nothing.
It means nothing.
It means absolutely nothing. People say, oh, and I try to convince people, I say, what have you done to actually change election laws, secure our nothing? They say, well, you know, maybe this time it'll be different. Like, we got to get to work.
Well,
we're running out of time.
Well, and this is the thing, is that we have to have great defense with election integrity law, but we have to put bodies out and have great offense to make up for our disparities.
Only there. Turning Point Action is doing this, right? Well, do you know of any other mass hiring effort that's happening on the right?
We're leading the charge, Charlie. We're leading the charge.
If we don't have bodies, all of a sudden you're going to have Joe Biden for another 4 years.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at it, if you go to tpaction.com/trainings and go to Understanding Arabella and Democracy Alliance, you start to really see, we lay out the entire infrastructure in the most simplistic way that we can. It's complicated. It certainly is. But they have two basic sides. They have Arabella advisors, which is the money pit. This is the Soros side that we generally refer to as Soros. It's really many, many more donors than that. And many families that contribute to it. But then we also have Democracy Alliance, which is probably the more technical organization that you should become more familiar with. This is the organization that identifies the C3s and C4s and PACs and how they operate to chase ballots effectively. All they care about is how many ballots in each state those organizations are getting into the box. And their whole job is to make sure they don't get too little or too much money. And this is really critical, the too much money thing. There are many organizations on the right that receive too much money and do not enough, or they don't focus on the right things. And this is like the problem that's been talked about. And again, we're not attacking our friends, you know, directly that are in the think tank space, but the right created hundreds of think tanks in the last 30 years. And none of them have anything to do with driving election, get out the vote. And so there's a problem with that. You can't have too much of that. And those became very popular and very, very inflated with cash. There's been billions and billions of dollars spent on that on our side, while we've let get out the vote operations left out to dry, right? We've left them completely underfunded. And so that's the area that we have to spend our time and effort on. And we really need some referees in the space to say, okay, you know, this is worth it. And again, I want to point back to what we had talked about with Mark Kelly in 2022. Had Mark Kelly not been running, remember, Arizona had a senatorial election basically the last 10 years, like every 2 years, because of John McCain passing away and everything else. You have a situation now where you had Mark Kelly receive $50 to $60 million that just went into almost exclusively bodies. This was all outside infrastructure. This was all outside money. And that is what basically forced not only Mark Kelly to win, but also drug everyone else across the finish line that was a statewide candidate, including Katie Hobbs.
And the infrastructure exists. Reid Hoffman, Laureen Powell Jobs, Sergey Brin, Larry Page, George Soros, the oligarchs on the left, they pump in hundreds of millions of dollars a year. The right has nothing even comparable to this.
That's
not even close. We are being outspent probably closer to 10 to 1.
And the key part of that, Charlie, is how organized they are. Right. So they've created.
None of our people. By the way, they're too busy attacking Turning Point on our side.
Our side turns our guns and spends. And this is what part of their infrastructure does, is they try to turn our own guns against each other.
Yes.
So we're spending hundreds of millions of dollars attacking each other for the most part in primaries, everything else. And then the left is spending billions of dollars.
Never
organized,
fighting.
Never fighting, letting John Fetterman basically not have a primary opponent. Yep. Not funding his primary opponent, things like that.
And they have quelled that whole progressive wing of the Democrat Party. The Bernie Sanders, AOC wing, they have no voice, no sort of rancor. They used to do primaries. They are gone.
And by the way, you saw this last week, AOC getting attacked by their own people.
Yep.
They have methods in which they hold those people accountable too.
That's right.
So they keep their people in line much better than we keep our people in line. But it all starts with infrastructure. It all starts with making sure that money isn't being spent on stupid, ridiculous things. They're going to be a waste.
Our side specializes in that. Are you ready to lose weight but not sure where to start? I understand. I was right where you are 2 years ago. Let me tell you why I chose the PhD Weight Loss and Nutrition Program. First, Dr. Ashley Lucas has her PhD in chronic disease and sports nutrition. Her program is based on years of research and is science-based. Second, the PhD program starts in nutrition. There is so much more. They know that 90% of permanent change comes from the mind, and they work on eliminating the reason you gained this weight in the first place. There's no shortcuts, pills, or injections, just solid, science-based nutrition and behavior change. And finally, most importantly, I lost 30 pounds. Look, they're amazing. If you want to lose weight, you got to go to myphdweightloss.com. I was just texting with Dr. Ashley Lucas today. If you're ready to lose weight for the last time, call 864-644-1900. Go online at myphdweightloss.com. Do what I did and what hundreds of my listeners have done and call today, 864-644-1900. I recommend their program. Dr. Ashley Lucas has her PhD in chronic disease and sports nutrition. Her program is based on years of research and is science-based. Second, the PhD program starts in nutrition, but it's so much more. Go to myphdweightloss.com, myphdweightloss.com. Call 864-644-1900. I lost over 30 pounds. Dr. Ashley Lucas, great American. Check it out, myphdweightloss.com. All right, Tyler, I want to play this here. Let's play Cut 57. This is the Michigan Secretary of State.
But you're not just helping Michigan. You're part of a group of secretaries of state that are really working on this around the country. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, one of the things we saw in 2020 was that particularly in battleground states, we were all battling a common adversary, a really nationally coordinated effort to undermine the will of the people, both before, during, and after Election Day. But there was really no way for us to consistently as a team, the six of us in those six battleground states, which Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, Michigan, Arizona, Nevada, and Georgia, to constantly both compare notes and also say, okay, how are we going to respond to this nationally coordinated effort with a coordinated response? So
Tyler, what is she talking about here?
So what the Michigan Secretary of State just admitted to publicly is that the secretaries of state, the Democrat secretaries of state, have all been coordinating together, which, you know, this is news, because this is something that
they've denied.
Yeah.
We do our own stuff. We don't talk to other states. No, they're in harmony. And there's obviously an organizing hub, Soros, Emerson Collective, Democracy Alliance, that is being the offensive coordinator here.
That is pushing them. And it's obvious to even the most pedestrian political observer. This is obvious. And this is where the Fannie Willis stuff really starting to break down, is because they've been coordinating things with Fannie's situation, right? And so now they're getting really nervous because that thing is spinning out of control wildly, which is part of the reason why I think you've seen such stalling on the Michigan front with the things that they've done there. Nevada, things are not shaping up. This thing is getting out of their control. But this is the reason why we just don't have enough fighters on our side. We have some incredible fighters. We have just very few, you know, whether you look at Harmeet Dhillon or Sigal Chadha in Nevada. We have a number of people who we need lawyers to step up and say, you know, enough's enough. We have to fight this like crazy, because these people are literally trying to destroy our country, go after regular Americans. They're going after little grandmas. That's what she's referring to and talking
yes.
about. And something that was now happened, you know, almost 4 years ago. And so, you know, and it, which, by the way, was outlined very concretely in the Constitution. So, you know, it was handled and we moved on, and they want to go after Trump. They've realized now that they've lost the battles and trying to prevent Trump from being able to make the ballot. The only way that they could was basically start this like chaos with trying to remove him from primary ballots. But they can't stop his nomination from happening at the Republican National Convention. That is completely privately held by the Republican National Convention. The only thing that they can do now is try to thwart the will of the American people on the floor of Congress. When, again, this comes down to
certification,
reading the Electoral College votes.
Oh, they'll try and block it.
And certifying
everything that they got upset that Republicans were thinking about doing, they're going to 100% do.
Yeah, exactly. And here's the problem they've created for themselves now. Now more Americans are acutely aware of the Electoral College because of it, things like that. So they're kind of falling into their own trap, where people have become more educated on this. And I think what they're going to see is they're going to start realizing, like, you've seen the meme, am I the baddie? You know, am I the bad guy? That these people are really the bad guy. And they're going to start losing people on their side, especially the moderate faction, who's going, oh my gosh, like, this is crazy.
So in closing here, we need to scale up and hire up I mean, how many full-time people has the RNC invested in Arizona, Wisconsin, Georgia?
You know, and again, we've laid off of being just the constant attack dogs. We're just, when people ask us this
question, but we're running out of time. This is another month wasted here. Like, let's get our...
There are no field staff on the ground in Arizona. There's one guy, right?
And how many do we have?
And we have dozens. We are right now hiring hundreds. And so we are building the army in Arizona where we will have thousands of activists knocking doors, chasing ballots. It'll be the first time this has ever been done in a structural way. First time in the entire movement. And it's going to be in the most important states, Arizona, Wisconsin, Georgia.
Georgia will be, we have
Michigan,
to raise the capital.
Places for it, yeah. That we're going. But we're organizing volunteers to do this work in other states as well. And so we're talking thousands of full-time, part-time volunteer activists that are going to be knocking doors, chasing ballots, and singing out the same song sheet for the first time ever.
There's a lot of confidence. People say, oh, there's no way Trump can lose. I mean, I don't subscribe to that at all.
No, we've seen it. And folks, this is when it comes back to, for those of you that spent time with us on election night in 2022,
yep.
When we witnessed in real time how they were, you know, legally and, you know, some questionable ways that they were manipulating the election results.
Yes.
And some of this is that, you know, again, comes down to adjudication. We could talk about that for hours. Some of this talks about how they count the votes, right?
Yep.
Which we saw the order in which they did it here in the Phoenix metropolitan area. And this
100%.
Is the tip of the spear. They gave less time to cure ballots. Less curing ballots
That's
means
right.
less winning.
Check it out, tpaction.com. Tyler, thanks so much. Let's talk real risks and real safety for a second. Right now, banks are juggling debts under the radar. Commercial properties, cars, credit cards, they're owed on. It's a bit much, isn't it? Makes you think of the 2008 financial crisis. There's a smoother way to handle your finances. I have turned to gold and silver. In fact, I'm holding silver in my hand right now from Noble Gold Investments. It might be traditional, but it's reliable, not just shiny objects. There's some stability in these uncertain times. If you're interested in exploring this path, Noble Gold Investments can guide you. They know their stuff about precious metals for IRAs and 401ks. And here's a little nudge, a 1/4 of an ounce gold standard gold coin, free with qualifying account only this month. When you're ready, invest with the folks at Noble Gold Investments. They'll help you figure out if it's the right move for you. No pressure, just options. You can claim your free gold coin and secure your family's financial future. Just use promo code GOLD. What is your hedge right now against a coming collapse? The market is primed for a correction. Go to noblegoldinvestments.com right now. Colin Plume and the team at Noble Gold Investments, they're terrific, responsive, ethical, honest. Go to noblegoldinvestments.com right now. That is noblegoldinvestments.com. Mr. Kane is here, citizenfreepress.com. Citizen Kane, your web traffic is just going crazy lately. I mean, my team sent me some of these images here. By the way, I like your new mugshot. That's your Fulton County mugshot. Kane, what's going on?
Yeah, well, it's a good thing that there's no camera because I was just dancing to my theme song and Trump's victory here in the here in CFP Global headquarters. Yeah, that mugshot, somebody memed that up. That's me and in my bathroom. And somebody meme that up. So I wear that proudly. That's my Fulton County mugshot. Regarding traffic, yeah, it's crazy. I'm sure traffic is high for everyone on the internet the last 24 hours, but that's a record for us, man. First time we've ever been above 15 million page views in one day, in one 24-hour period, and almost, as you see, almost 3 million visits. So, yeah, so it's crazy.
I think it's only going to grow this year, Kane. I'm telling you, I am long on citizenfreepress.com. If you were a stock, I would buy it. I'm telling you, what you guys have going there is unbelievable. So you'll go ahead, Kane, your thoughts.
Well, I was just say from nothing. I mean, think about it, Charlie. It's going to be my 7-year anniversary on May 1st. And on May 1st of 2017, I literally just sat down in my office and started typing headlines on a blank white page. Right. I had no readers. I had no one. There was no Facebook page to push traffic. I didn't go to the media and try to get articles saying, hey, this young upstart is trying to, you know, launch a drudge alternative. I just started typing headlines. I haven't left this office now almost 7 years later. But it's amazing where it is to go from, you know, my first day, I tried to push it on Twitter. I got 100 people and I think maybe 300 page views. So to go from, you know, and maybe the first day I did a total of 1,000 page views. So to go from 1,000 to 15 million in 24, you know. So anyway, that, you know, it's
only,
I'm still
in America,
blown away by it.
Only in America. And that is true Midwest grit. I got to tell you, Kane, I love
that's
it.
That's right.
All right. So, Kane, right. give us the recap of Super Tuesday. What do you think we're missing in the coverage here? Some of the surprises, the wrinkles, takeaways, Citizen Kane.
Well, there's a lot of good stuff, but you're not missing anything, Charlie. You're too good. You don't miss stuff. But I thought, you know, there's some interesting headlines on the stack right now. I thought it was interesting Biden losing in, suddenly it's spacing me out which item, but it's the first time an incumbent president has lost a primary in 44 years. I thought that was interesting. What I'm focusing on this morning, though, is Nikki and the subtext of her speech. And think through this with me, Charlie, and I want to know what you think. So she's got to be worried on the margins about potentially being banished from the entire America First movement and maybe the future of the Republican Party. So if you're sort of cornered, you've stayed in the race too long, as she has, and now you need to kind of mend fences and make sure that you stay relevant, what might you do? You might try to extort the presidential candidate, Donald Trump himself, and try to force him somehow to choose you as your vice president. And I could be wrong, but I feel like I heard that in the subtext of her speech this morning, where she said, Donald Trump, it is now the time of your choosing. You can bring these people back. You can bring independents. And it really felt like Nikki was saying, if you want my endorsement, if you want the 30% of these weak independents who voted for me, then you're going to have to offer me the VP job. Did you get any of that vibe at all?
I'm starting to see it. Let's play cut 53 so our audience can watch it alongside. Let's play cut 53.
In all likelihood, Donald Trump will be the Republican nominee when our party convention meets in July. I congratulate him and wish him well. I wish anyone well who would be America's president. Our country is too precious to let our differences divide us. I have always been a conservative Republican and always supported the Republican nominee. But on this question, as she did on so many others, Margaret Thatcher provided some good advice when she said, quote, never just follow the crowd. Always make up your own mind. It is now up to Donald Trump to earn the votes of those in our party and beyond it who did not support him. And I hope he does that. At its best, politics is about bringing people into your cause, not turning them away. And our conservative cause badly needs more people. This is now his time for choosing.
His time for choosing? Kane,
yep.
What is that?
Yep.
Is this a hostage situation? That's how you talk. if you've kidnapped, you know, 9 people and you have them in the basement. It is now your time for choosing. You have till 5 p.m. tonight.
Yeah. That's the line. That's the line that I picked up on, that final line. It's his time for choosing. Will he choose me and bring me into the fold and my sort of attachment to these wishy-washy independents and rhino Republicans? I don't know. I'm not saying Trump's going to do it. In fact, I don't think he will. You've got Tucker Carlson 2 months ago on stage with you, I think, saying that he would actively campaign against a ticket that included Nikki Haley. You've got Vivek, who's out there pushing Trump strongly, who's, you know, diametrically opposed. So I can't imagine that he would ever do this. But I felt like that's what she's trying to do, that she's worried. I mean, she saw the headlines for the last 2 weeks about how she should be banished from the party, that she needed to, you know, she should have quit a long time ago. So I sort of feel like that's what she's angling for. Or, you know, or another cabinet position. But let's hope he doesn't do it.
Yeah, it feels kind of like extortion, to be honest. I mean, she's saying she's not going third party, but then she has this whole thing. Well, I traditionally support the nominee, but Margaret Thatcher used to say, like, well, hold on a second, what's going on here? That you have to make up your own mind. It's very goofy. So Kane, you know, one of the things we're talking about here on this program, frontpageofpolitico.com, I don't know if you have it in the stack, Biden's plan for Trump, bury him with campaign cash. This race is going to tighten. Now is not the time to be cocky or to act as if this race is over. Simply, we have a nominee. That is it. Citizen Kane.
Yeah, I have seen that political story, and I'm not sure if you've mentioned it, but there's buzz about Elon Musk attending a meeting on Sunday at Mar-a-Lago with two or three other unnamed Republican donors. Apparently, Trump wasn't able to meet with him one-on-one because Trump's comment afterwards was that he hopes to arrange such a meeting. And apparently, that meeting is about trying to get Elon to donate a huge chunk of cash to help the Trump campaign going forward. You know, look, Charlie, you and I have talked about election strategies in the best way. And, you know, one of the things that Trump didn't do in 2016 was waste money on TV ads. And he didn't really do it in 2020. And I tend to agree with that. I feel like you brought it up. How much was wasted on TV ads in Iowa and New Hampshire from DeSantis and Nikki Haley were probably over $100 million. And then South Carolina and then even Super Tuesday yesterday. So, you know, so yes, we're going to need money. The effort starts now. It's every single day. We all have to figure out what we can do to help Trump win. But the bigger thing is, you know, can he bring in Elon Musk? Will Elon donate a couple hundred million that Trump or maybe the RNC or maybe some of it makes its way to TPUSA so that we can have a ground game, an actual grassroots ground game in the seven states? I mean, I put up something last night, Decision Desk. This got lost everywhere. This was yesterday. Decision Desk made a major update. They now predict a popular vote of a tie, essentially, but a Trump almost landslide in the Electoral College. I think it was 312 to 226, Trump winning. And that's based on his winning five of the seven swing states. So as you identified early in our conversations a year ago on air, it's all about really seven or eight counties in seven states. And that is what is going to determine it. So I'll throw it back to you. But from your question about how all we have is a nominee, you're absolutely correct. Now let's get to work. Let's put $100 million into these seven states and let's win this thing, Charlie. I'm ready to win.
I love it, Citizen Kane. And we need to start to consolidate the support, deploy the resources, and we're currently hiring. That's what we're doing. Turning Point Action, tpaction.com. Kane, here are 10 positive things that have happened in the last couple of weeks. Number one, Texas is standing up to the feds. Number two, we have new leadership coming into the RNC. Number three, Trump's dominance in the primaries. Number four, McConnell stepping down. Number five, Nikki Haley's dropping out. Number six, the Supreme Court 9-0 ballot ruling. Seven, polling continues to build. Eight, Fannie Willis's case implodes. Nine, Jack Smith cases is delayed. And number 10, House blocked Ukraine funding. It's not all bad news, Mr. Kane.
No, it is not. And I'm going to add to your list. I'm busy scrolling down the stack to find when I was pitching out the positive stuff. Here we go. So here's victory still to come, Charlie. We've got SCOTUS likely to side with Fisher in Fisher versus United States and throw out that cooked up Enron J6 obstruction charge against Trump and the 300 fellow political dissidents. So that's another positive that we have to look forward to. You know, Charlie, I was listening and watching what TPUSA does on college campuses is so incredibly important. There's a story in the stack about how Democrats, you know, have it on 1,000 campuses. And I mentioned TPUSA. I certainly hope that you guys have an active chapter at UVA, University of Virginia, where I may or may not have graduated from. I'd like to talk about UVA for a quick second. You may have seen the story in the stack, but Open Secrets has a report out showing that UVA, which is not a huge school, all right? I want people to understand, it's 10,000 undergraduate students. It is the state school of the University of Virginia, of the state of Virginia, and they are spending $20 million on 235 DEI positions every single year, $20 million a year. Thomas Jefferson is rolling over in his grave. It's It's insane. And I would invite people to sort of just type in UVA, DEI, open the books, and you'll get the story on that. And I thought of it because you're talking about all the great work that you guys are doing on hundreds of campuses. And you talked about Hillsdale being the new Harvard. You know, I'll tell a little personal story. When I was graduating high school, I got into Harvard and Stanford, and I turned both of them down to go to UVA because of Thomas Jefferson, because I was obsessed with the guy and how he built this university. You know, from he was up on Monticello, like 20 miles away, looking down with this telescope and watching the architects and making sure that they were constructing it in, you know, in the way that he imagined. So he built this living, breathing, teaching, studying university, what the academic village of Charlottesville. And to see where it is now, it's a disgrace. And I'm going to throw it back to you because that's all I had for that.
No, it is remarkable. And University of Virginia used to be one of America's greatest institutions. And yeah, the story's right there on the stack, citizenfreepress.com. citizenfreepress.com. I want to emphasize one of the stories here, Kane. You've been following it closely. Fannie Willis, we're waiting for a judge's decision here. Trump's ability to navigate, dodge the lawfare is remarkable. Final thoughts, Kane.
Yeah, it is remarkable. We didn't, I mean, you and I have been talking about this for so long. So the interesting stuff that people should know if from the last 48 hours is, well, somehow Nathan Wade got the garage door opener for the condo that Fannie Willis was living in before they were supposedly together. So that came out yesterday. He had that garage door opener, but they obviously weren't in a relationship. And then we have the Cobb County DA, the district attorney from a neighboring county, has petitioned. Well, the Trump lawyers petitioned through an affidavit. She has personal evidence that throws into doubt Nathan Wade's testimony. So Trump has been able to navigate them all. Let's look at it. The only one that sort of hasn't been knocked down is Alvin Bragg, right? That's starting at the end of this month. And that's the most ridiculous case of all, right? They're trying to turn an election, an FEC election complaint into a criminal charge, into a felony. It can't be done. Now, he may get away with it, but we both know that's going to be thrown out. All right. Well, so we've got that and we've got Jack Smith on the ropes. Jack Smith is on the ropes for two reasons, not just immunity, but the two obstruction charges. So both of those decisions by the Supreme Court are not coming down until June. So it's looking good. He's sliding through. He's Nelson Mandela. And we're going to win all seven swing states with the help of TPUSA.
From your lips to God's ears. Thank you so much, Kane, for the support. Citizenfreepress.com. Check it out. Thanks so much. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much for listening, and God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.